Praise the Lord. I sure rejoice in this opportunity to share with you today. It certainly is none other than a miracle that I'm even here sharing. One Sunday after there were some things shared from the scripture that had been burning in my heart, I ran into Ed Marshall out in the front, and I had just been so touched. God had been just putting a message and a burden and a speaking and a dealing in my life the last several months. And it's like it was so much on my heart. I saw him and I just kind of bubbled over. And I told him how exciting it was. I had gotten up 5 o'clock that morning before coming to church, and the Lord had given me a bunch of scriptures. And the Lord had just really been speaking to me. And Ed said, "Why don't you come and share that with us? You know, I've got an opening. I've got all these people and all these things. And it hasn't worked out. I bet this is the hand of the Lord." So God has allowed me to come, and I know that His word will go forth, and I believe it. And the burden upon my heart to share with you is the drought. The drought that's upon us right now. Is there any significant theme in the drought that is upon our country? We have many, many states in the heart of our country devastated with the lack of rainfall. We have thousands upon thousands of acres of forest land that have been burning. At one point, we had over 9,000 firefighters and thousands of pieces of equipment seeking to put the fires out in places that you and I would go for vacation with our families. Mount Rushmore, Old Faithful, areas like that, that have been burning up. And in the Old Testament times, and even in the early church, when something like that happened in the natural, there was a speaking, a response of the heart to what was happening. They would say, "Hey, see the clouds in the air, and you see the dark clouds and that a storm is coming." And somehow, with what Daniel said, that in the last days, that knowledge would increase. And we have all this knowledge, and we have the meteorologists telling us that there's a greenhouse effect, and all these things, that somehow, perhaps we have not listened and heard the message that the Lord has with the drought that's upon us. And the Lord has given me some scriptures, and I'd like perhaps to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 11 to begin. The scriptures have some revelations as to the meaning of a drought. What a drought is all about. What it is that God would speak. And He spoke many times to the nation of Israel, and He used a drought to do it. Chapter 11, verse 13. "And it shall come about, if you listen obediently to my commandments, which I am commanding you today, to love your God and the Lord your God, and to serve Him with all your heart and with all your soul, that I will give you the rain for your land in its season, the early and late rain, that you may gather in your grain and your new wine and your oil. And I will give grass in your fields for your cattle, and you shall eat and be satisfied. Beware lest your hearts be deceived, and you turn away and serve other gods and worship them. Or the anger of the Lord will be kindled against you, and He will shut up the heavens, so that there will be no rain, and the ground will not yield its fruit, and you will perish quickly from the good land which the Lord is giving you." This was written to the children of Israel. And Israel, in the Old Testament, is a type of the church, of the body of Christ. And I believe that the Lord has brought this drought as a message. In verse 17, drought had comes as an expression of God's holy anger against sin. And I believe that the sin in our country has risen up to the Lord. And if you consider all the things going on in our country, let alone the body of Christ, the drought is a meaningful sign and a speaking of God. A drought is to be interpreted with verse 17, the way it's presented, that it's actually a sign of a call to repentance from the Lord. And what is it that the Lord is speaking? He was speaking here to the nation of Israel. And I believe that today, with the drought that's upon us, he's speaking to the body of Christ. There's worldly conformity, and there's an admixture in the body of Christ, and we're talking nationwide, we're talking American church has, by and large, been in a mixture with the world. And there's worldliness and conformity on every side. How can you say that? Well, in verse 16, it mentions, beware lest your hearts be deceived and you turn away and serve other gods and worship them. And I believe that there are other gods that have crept in. Now, we don't have ashram and little temples all around the town anymore with idols in that we can go in and see and that people are worshiping. But we have new idols. We have different kinds of idols. Like, for example, materialism and money and comfort and convenience. And there's idols that are on hand. And I tell you, I have a burden, and many of us in our midst have listened to the Lord and obeyed him. But I believe that there is a speaking of the Lord in this drought against a certain type of idol that has plagued and affected the American church. And I pray that you would be patient with me in listening to this. And I believe it's the TV set. I believe it's the TV set. And the Lord has given me just a very simple illustration that you take just a picture that it kind of explains this. You take a frog and throw him into a pot of boiling hot water, and he'll jump out immediately because he knows that it's death. He knows that it's his end. But if you leave a frog in water that's at room temperature and slowly turn up the heat, ever so slowly, he will stay there and he will boil to death. He does not know that the heat is changing and is going up. And it'll eventually cost him his life. And you know, that might have happened over 10, 20, 30, 40 years of TV viewing. First of all, we started with black and white TV shows like Leave It to Beaver and the Donna Reed Show and Ed Sullivan and all the seemingly black and white innocent shows. And we've taken it in. We've entertained. We've taken it in. We've drunk it. We've been part of it. And then color TV came out. And then things got more sensual, more lustful, more worldly. And the shows began to go down and down and down over a period of time. And we've grown up and we've taken it in. We've taken it in. And I'm talking about even believers all across the land have been participating in this. To the point now where everything is so dark. And even in the movie theaters, what do we have now? We have the most vulgar, profane, ugly, blasphemous film that has ever reared its head in the face of the earth. The Last Temptation of Christ. And I believe it's a plan, a scheme of the enemy of the soul to bring down many and to deceive many. And I think we've given ground. We've allowed it to come in. We've allowed it to be another God to take it in and to muddy the waters and cause our hearts to be conformed to the world. Now that's a hard thing because we're all very attached and love our TVs. And I walked in the same way. I was raised on it. And 3.5 years ago, God delivered Gail and I. We got rid of it. And the peace that came into our home was just terrific. And not only the peace, but there's not the confusion. Because what happens when we sit in front of TV, it causes our minds to be ungirded. And all throughout Scripture, we're told, be sober in spirit for the purpose of prayer. And gird up the loins of your mind. And when you watch it, it ungirds our mind. And it lays us open for every worldly compromise. And to think that we can watch it and not be harmed, I believe, is a deception, a lie. Turn with me, if you will, to Joel chapter 1. This is a hard thing to share. Because it gets right down to where the rubber meets the road, you know. But I believe the Lord is speaking even through this drought. Joel chapter 1. Joel. First chapter talks about a devastation that's brought on by locusts. But see, there's more to it than just that. The locusts came in and ate everything up and destroyed it, and it's a waste. But there was a foundation laid, and there was a drought at the same time as the locust devastation. And a drought was upon the land, and the locusts came in and finished off, but the drought didn't finish. And starting in verse 13 through 20, gird yourselves with sackcloth and lament, O priests. Wail, O ministers of the altar. Come, spend the night in sackcloth, O ministers of my God. For the grain offering and the libation are withheld from the house of your God. Consecrate a fast. Proclaim a solemn assembly. Gather the elders and all the inhabitants of the land to the house of the Lord your God and cry out to the Lord. And I just want to stop there and say, where are the wailing ministers? Where are the wailing priests? Why aren't we not crying out to the Lord with this drought, with this sign that's upon us? Why aren't our hearts touched? And why aren't we humbled before Him to respond to the speaking of God? We go on living and comfortably with our water sprinklers, watering our lawns, and living in our air-conditioned house and seemingly untouched by all that God is speaking. And I believe He's speaking boldly to the body of Christ. I believe He's saying, shore it up and repent and return to the first love that we're to have. And I believe that unless we cry out to the Lord, we will not be able to stand in our testimony for Jesus in the days to come. I believe there has to be a real crying out for the body. Verse 15, alas for the day of the Lord is near, and it will come as destruction from the Almighty. And I believe that's more relevant than tomorrow's newspaper. I really do. Has not food been cut off from before our eyes? Gladness and joy from the house of our God? The seeds shrivel under the clods. The storehouses are desolate. The barns are torn down, for the grain is dried up. How the beasts groan. Their herds of cattle wander aimlessly because there is no pasture for them. Even the flocks of sheep suffer. To thee, O Lord, I cry, for fire has devoured the pastures of the wilderness, and the flame has burned up all the trees of the field. Even the beasts of the field pant for thee, for the water brooks are dried up, and fire has devoured the pastures of the wilderness. And we see it. We see the farmers selling their cattle because they can't feed them. We see the fire, we see the flames, the burning flames burning up the trees. And you know, this was speaking, of course, to the situation there in the house of Israel. But I believe it's so fitting, it's such a strong speaking to what's happening right now in America. Turn, if you will, with me to Haggai, a few books over. Haggai, I'm not quite sure exactly how to say that. The first chapter. Haggai was a prophet that was called to challenge and encourage the house of Israel in building the temple. And his challenge is given like verses 3 to 11. But I'm going to start in verse 2. While we read verse 1. In the second year of Darius the king, on the first day of the sixth month, the word of the Lord came by the prophet Haggai to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, this people says, the time has not come, even the time for the house of the Lord to be rebuilt. And I say that there are many in the land that feel the same way. That nothing's unusual, everything's going on. You know, we've got some cycles and situations, and there's explanation after explanation, and this is just normal patterns. And why is there such an urgency to seek the Lord, to go all out for Jesus, to consecrate a fast and to seek Him? Then the word of the Lord came to me, verse 3, came by Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses while this house lies desolate? Now therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much, but harvest little. You eat, but there is not enough to be satisfied. You drink, but there is not enough to become drunk. You put on clothing, but no one is warm enough. And he who earns wages to put it into purses with holes. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountains, bring wood, and rebuild the temple, that I may be pleased with it and be glorified, says the Lord. You look for much, but behold, it comes to little. When you bring it home, I blow it away. Why? Declares the Lord of hosts. Because of my house, which lies desolate, while each of you runs to his own house. Therefore, because of you, the sky has withheld its dew, and the earth has withheld its produce. And I call for a drought on the land, on the mountains, on the grain, on the new wine, on the oil, on what the ground produces, on men, on cattle, and on all the labor of your hands. And I believe that this is a picture of selfishness. Now, why would I say that? Well, in this situation, the house of the Lord was to be built, but there was a shortage of a supply, and that was wood. And the people were living in paneled houses and taking wood home to build their paneled houses when they really should have been taking it to the temple, to build the temple. And I believe that it's a picture of selfishness that God has given to each of us in the body of Christ, gifts and strength and abilities and different things. And many, many across the land hoard it and keep it to themselves instead of giving and building the body of Christ. And I believe that the Lord is angered with that, and that he has said in this situation that he called for a drought, that he withhold the blessings. And the withholding of a blessing is a call of God to repent. And it's so evident of what is happening. Another chapter would be Jeremiah chapter 14. We can turn there. And this was so exciting to me. If you remember a few months back, the Lord has spoken to me so much through chapter 13 about the linen waistband and how we are to be holy, cleaving and clinging to Christ in devotion, in our closets, in our own private life. And then that day, I was just praying, I was seeking the Lord. This drought was what stirred me up, has renewed my commitment to Christ. I've been lazy, I've been backslidden. I had not been seeking the Lord 100% with all my heart and my life, pouring out my soul before Him. And I was just praying and asking the Lord, and He just said, open your eyes. And I opened my eyes, and I looked down, and I read the first verse. That which came as the Lord word of the Lord to Jeremiah regards to the drought. And boy, I'll tell you, what a speaking. That was a real speaking of God to my heart, to read that, right as that was on my heart. And much this chapter, verses 2 through 6, testify of what was happening in the land. Judah mourns and her gates languish. They sit on the ground in mourning, and the cry of Jerusalem has ascended, and their nobles have sent their servants for water. They have come to the cisterns and found no water. They have returned with their vessels empty. They have been put to shame and humiliated, and they cover their heads. Because the ground is cracked, for there has been no rain on the land. The farmers have been put to shame. They have covered their heads. For even the doe in the field has given birth only to abandon her young, because there is no grass. And the wild donkeys stand on the bare heights. They pant for air like jackals. Their eyes fail, for there is no vegetation. What a description. We've been getting to see this kind of description again, even our land today. And 7, 8, and 9 reflect a prayer from Jeremiah. And man, he gets right to the point. Although our iniquities testify against us, O Lord, act for thy name's sake. The root cause, the speaking of God, and Jeremiah standing in the gap for Israel. And he says, our iniquities testify against us. And I believe that that is what the Lord is saying today. Truly, our apostasies have been many. We have sinned against thee. Thou hope of Israel, its Savior in time of distress. Why art thou like a stranger in the land, or like a traveler who has pitched his tent for the night? Why art thou like a man dismayed, like a mighty man who cannot save? Yet thou art in our midst, O Lord, and we are called by thy name. Do not forsake us. And this pouring out of his heart is so reflective of what is actually happening in the nation of Israel. It was a time of rebellion, a time where where they were not looking to the Lord wholly with all their hearts. And verse 10, thus says the Lord to this people, even so they have loved to wander. They have not kept their feet in check. Therefore the Lord does not accept them. Now he will remember their iniquity and call their sins to account. All this speaking about the drought, why is it upon us? That's the reason. That we have loved to wander, that we have not kept our feet in check. When the Lord said that he does not accept them, he will remember their iniquity, the Lord brought verses to mind in Hebrews chapter 10. It says, for if we go on sinning willfully after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sin, but a certain terrifying expectation of judgment and the fury of a fire which will consume the adversaries. You know, that's not just Old Testament theology. The Lord does not change. And he's saying that we need to continue to walk in obedience before the Lord. We need to check our path. We need to examine our ways. We need to look unto him. And then verse 11, so the Lord said to me, do not pray for the welfare of this people. When they fast, I am not going to listen to their cry. And when they offer burnt offering and grain offering, I'm not going to accept them. Rather, I'm going to make an end of them by the sword, famine, and pestilence. And that's a hard thing. And I believe that the Lord has come to us with a wooden yoke. With a wooden yoke, with this drought. Last year, you can see the succession of events that have taken place. And the Lord said that judgment would begin in the house of God. And last year, the first quarter of last year, 1987, we saw a nationwide ministry fall. And all the people saw it. All the people in the world saw it. All the people in the United States saw it. It fell. And I believe that it was like the beginning of the judgment of God in the house of God. And after that, the Iran-Contra affair, that thing with the Iran-Contra affair. And then what happened in October? The Lord shook the stock market. And I know of a brother, a man of God, who was standing across the street the very day that the stock market fell. And the Lord told him to go there and stand there and just pray in the Spirit, pray in the Lord. And he was just standing there praying, and he saw it right before his eyes. And I believe that the Lord did that. And we've heard explanation after explanation. And I believe that that was the hand of the Lord. But really, the main thing, theme here, is in verse 13. But, ah, Lord God, I said, look, the prophets are telling them, you will not see the sword, nor will you have famine, but you will have lasting peace in this place. And there are many, many ministries. We hear all these wonderful sermons on just the grace of God. And everything is fine, and prosperity is here, and we're going to continue, and all the nice things that we're experiencing. And all across the land. But then I believe the Lord is saying this. Then the Lord said to me in verse 14, the prophets are prophesying falsehood in my name. I have neither sent them, nor commanded them, nor spoken to them. They are prophesying to you a false vision, divination, futility, and the deception of their own minds. And the burden on my heart is that the body of Christ hungers for the true word of God. For the word of God to go forth in power where we sit and we squirm in our seats because of the conviction of the Holy Spirit of God. And I believe that somehow that has been quenched. That has been quenched because we've quenched the Spirit. We've not sought the Lord for the word to save. And I would say it this way, that most of the time in modern Christianity here in America, we have a message, we have a theme, we have a desire to speak something. And we go into the scripture, we find the scriptures to support what we want to say and our outline and all the things that we're putting together to make sense. And then we pray long prayers that God will bless his word, and then we speak his word, and the Lord blesses it in measure, but it's not in power, it's not in conviction, it's not in the people aren't coming and weeping and pouring out their souls before the Lord because it's not going forth in power. And I believe that is because we've not started in the right foundation. We've not waited upon the Lord, waited for his speaking, waited for what it is that he wants to express. Allow the Holy Spirit to work among us in the way that he would see fit, and not according to our traditions the traditions of men, not the traditions in the Word. And so we've held back. And I believe that the Lord is speaking loud and clear through this drought that we should listen to the power of the Lord, that we should listen and wait upon the Holy Spirit of God. Amos chapter 8 come to mind. And I can just read this for you. Amos chapter 8, verses 11 to 13. And I believe this is so reflective of what we were just discussing. Behold, days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will send a famine on the land. Not a famine for bread or a thirst for water, but rather for hearing the words of the Lord. And people will stagger from sea to sea and from the north even to the east. They will go to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, but they will not find it. In that day, the beautiful virgins and the young men will faint from thirst. I'm always talking to someone who's saying, oh, I wish I could find a fellowship, a place where the Lord's word and the power of the Lord's word is coming forth. And the picture of the drought that's upon us is like a picture of a spiritual drought. A spiritual drought. And certainly it couldn't be for Bibles. I mean, many of us have in our own home more Bibles than a village in China would have. You know, just one person, just one family. So it certainly couldn't be a shortage of Bibles. They couldn't be a shortage of sermons. We have sermons all over the place. All kinds of sermons. But what about the speaking of the Word of God? The power of God. The kind that grants the life to be molded, become like clay, become soft in the hand of God, filled with the Holy Spirit, going forth as shining as lights in the world. What is the answer? What is the answer to this kind of thing? What is to be our response? And I believe in the days ahead, and the days we're in now, that Psalm 91, verse 1, really sums it up. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. We must dwell there. I believe that it's a call of God. If we've ever been all out for Jesus, ever been pouring our hearts out, staying up all night in prayer, if there's ever a time, it's now. Because I believe without it, the days to come are going to be testing. And another verse that the Lord gave me is Isaiah 26, verse 20 and 21, a precious scripture. And with this, you know, I'll be wrapping up. Isaiah 26, 20 and 21. It's something that the Lord spoke to me. I remember hearing it many years ago, and it's been a precious couple of verses. It says, come, my people, enter into your rooms and close your doors behind you. Hide for a little while until indignation runs its course. For behold, the Lord is about to come out from his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. And the earth will reveal her bloodshed and will no longer cover her slain. And I really believe that the Lord is about to come out from his place and to bring punishment upon the earth. I believe with all my heart that the Lord will have us to come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Not just like leaving the country, that kind of thing. We're talking about the heart, to get our hearts out of the world, to renounce materialism, to renounce the pull of influence of the world, and to be moved of God, not of men. So I pray that the Lord, as he's shaking, I believe the Lord is shaking right now. He's shaking with this drought. He's shaking with the economy. I believe that every fiber and strand of our society is going to be shaken. And I pray that there will be the response that the Philippian jailer had upon many in our land. The Philippian jailer, you remember that? The Lord shook the prison, and all the chains fell off of Paul and Silas and all the prisoners, and they were all in there, and he was about to kill himself, and Paul said, no, don't do that. And he came and ran, and he said, what must I do to be saved? And he became a believer, and all his household repented, and he turned to the Lord. And I pray that with the shaking that's going on in our country, the shaking going on that he's speaking to the church, I pray that the Lord would raise up Philippian jailers, people that would repent and would realize that as their businesses are shaking and their lives are shaken, that they would turn wholly to the Lord and not renounce. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Oh, Heavenly Father, we just praise you and thank you for your love and your word. And oh God, I believe that you're speaking to our hearts, Father. This drought is not an accident. It's not a cycle. It's right from your hand. And I believe that you're calling us to come and to pour out our hearts before you. That the church would come together and pour out their hearts before you together, seeking the Lord as never before. Grant it so, Lord. Grant us the hunger and thirst even beyond that which we've experienced, and that we would wholly be given to being moved of you, that you would fill us, that you would use us, that you would grant us to be a speaking, a sign to many that they might come to Christ. Move in our midst, dear Lord Jesus, and cause us to understand and interpret the signs of the times and the heat and drying up the ground and taking away the water and the rivers drying up. Grant us to see your hand. Grant us to tremble. Grant us to have the fear of the Lord, to walk in the fear of the Lord. Return it to us, dear Lord. We pray in Jesus' name.